Praise the Lord. God is good. I have good news from the bishop. He just sent Rosemary a text. He said all the tests have come back, and they've all come back normal. Praise be to God. Praise the Lord. She went for a... Olivia. Yes. Olivia. Sorry. They're all, everything's like, amen. Good. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, Lord, I thank you for this time that you've given to us. I thank you, Lord, for all that you've spoken in our lives today. I thank you, Lord, for your grace, your mercy, your tenderness, your love, your compassion, your healing, your steadfast love. And Lord, Holy Spirit, that you've given us that grace, the anointing to love with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Even though our reach is weak, yet you've given us the grace to ravish the heart of God. What an honor. What a blessing. So Lord, I ask that you give spiritual words to spiritual thoughts, and together our hearts may be lifted, and that we'll bow the knee of our hearts to your throne as we prepare, and you've prepared this time for us at your footstool. In the name of Jesus, we give you thanks. Amen. Well, I'm going to give you a word tonight. I've called it the Holy Exchange, but it's one of those things the Lord is just, as I've been studying and as He's been opening up things and as He's been ravishing my heart, my heart's becoming more inflamed. You just wake up one morning and say, Lord, how can I love you more? And then bang, it just happens. And so He's given me a scripture that we'll get to eventually here, but the title of this message is called The Holy Exchange for those online. But it's a revelation that just blew my mind. So it just like rocked my boat, blew my mind, set me free, set me on fire, and I'm just really excited to share it with you. And I just, you know what? And if you already know it, then hopefully it'll rock your boat again. But in Matthew 22, and this is all a really familiar scripture with you, I know, it says, Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Well, before the foundation of the world, God had a plan in His heart. Before the world was created, He had the why behind the what. The why behind the what. We all know what happened. He created the heavens and the earth, and the commandment tells us, this great commandment tells us why He created the heavens and the earth. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Tells us why He created. We know what God did on the cross. The plan of salvation, the plan of redemption. He accomplished redemption on the cross. And verse 36 and 37 of Matthew 22 tells us why Jesus went to the cross. He accomplished redemption. And so in creation and redemption, He gives us the why behind the what. He gives us why He did and what was accomplished. To see, the Father promised His Son an inheritance. Inheritance of a people who He would totally possess. That would be totally His, totally owned. Jesus' inheritance is more than just real estate. It's more than just government. It's more than land. It's more than the land of every nation. It's more than all the governments of the earth. It's more the control of the nations as He leads them. It's more than mandatory obedience of the creation, of the inheritance that God gave Him. It's more than that. Paul gives us an insight, if you will. Turn with me to Philippians 2. Part of the inheritance. And again, very familiar scriptures. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that in name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on the earth and those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. You see, Paul is quoting, and he's quoting from Isaiah 45. The Father promised the Son that every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. Every knee, every tongue, every demon in hell will bow in obedience to the name of Jesus. Every unbeliever assigned to eternal judgment will go there in obedience to the word of Jesus. The obedience of creation is mandatory, but there's more. There's more to the inheritance that the Father was giving Jesus. More than mandatory obedience. Even though every mouth should confess, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth, there's more to the inheritance that the Father was giving to His Son. More than mandatory obedience. God wants mandatory obedience. He demands it. But He also wants something else from what that possession that He gave to Jesus. More than the land, more than the nations, more than the governments. As He's given us to Him, He also has given and wants from us what He can't create. And that's voluntary love. Voluntary love. The inheritance of a king is naturally the obedience of all the nations and those who dwell therein, on heaven and on earth. You see, the inheritance of a bridegroom is voluntary love of the people of all the nations. God can't create that. Otherwise, He'd be creating automatons, robots. God wanted all of us, the inheritance that He had promised to the bridegroom, voluntary love. All of us. Voluntary love. And so He gave us the anointing in the direction of the Holy Spirit. You shall. He appropriated that gift to us. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The inheritance of a bridegroom is voluntary love of all the peoples in all the nations. The very core of a bridegroom's inheritance is the fact that people would be equally yoked to him in love. Equally yoked. You know, I'm often reminded of, if you've ever seen bison pulling down an old, you know, everybody's ever gone to one of those pioneer villages, they have one in Canada. And they would have, they do everything like they did in the 1700s. And so when they plow the fields in the springs, they have the oxen in the yoke. And I'm always reminded that of, every time I think of it, of us pulling together in love, hooked to this oxen, this yoke that Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And yet we pull together. And got part of the bridegroom's inheritance is the fact that people would be equally yoked to him in love. The Father's promises and inheritance for Jesus is clear. It will be a bride prepared in love. Revelation 19, verse 7. Revelation 19, verse 7. It says, let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteousest acts of the saints. We are to be equally yoked in love. That is part of the Father's promise to His Son. You see, as Jesus went in obedience to the cross, He went on the substance of the Father's Word. And the Father's Word was what? That He would reign again with Him in glory. Number two, that He would give Him an eternal bride. eternal bride that would love them with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that the third promise that drove him, the Father's word to the cross, and he walked in faith, is that God would raise him from the dead. See, Jesus believed and set an example for us in the substance of the Father's word. He walked in faith and walked that out as a man, relying on the promises of the Father, the promises of the Father also, that Jesus was having a bride prepared for him in love. She'll be equally yoked in love, not automated, not conformed, programmed, but it will be completely voluntary. Okay, Father Mark, we know all this. But come on, man, I'm getting close to blow your mind time. Then he said to the Son, the Father said to the Son, they will choose you and want you in the same way that you chose them and you love them. They will choose you as you have chosen them and you have displayed that love by going to the cross and saying, as he said to the Father, maybe now, Father, they will believe us. Look, look, look! And so as we stood in the audience, as we stand in the audience of one, that eternal presence of the voice poured forth, the hush of heaven, as we heard last Sunday, that eternal presence poured forth, he said to the Son, they will choose you. They will choose you as you have chosen them and want them. This is the purpose of creation. The Father preparing an eternal companion for His Son, and the Son preparing an eternal family for the Father. I don't know about you, but this is like, I studied this. God opened this up to me, and I went, whoa. There's an exchange going on here. A holy exchange. The Father prepares a bride for His Son. Then Jesus at the end, when the consummation of the kingdom has been fulfilled, when all things are put finally under His feet, this time in between, it is to come. In this time, when Christ's Lordship will be fulfilled, He does something. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15. Blow your mind time. I've read this verse 100 times. I've heard it said 100 times. But it wasn't until by the revelation of the Holy Spirit in footstool time that God just like unpacked this thing and gave such revelation, it blew my mind about what's going on in our midst, this holy exchange that's happening. As the Father promised the Son a bride, and as this bride now prepared, equally yoked in love, as you've chosen them, so they will choose you. He's given us the purpose of creation. And he starts to unpack it. He says, verse 26, the last enemy will be destroyed is death. Now listen, verse Corinthians 15, for he has put all things under his feet. It's the end, the consummation of the age, when all things are finally put. When the King of Kings, it is now, but is yet to come. Amen. All things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. So all things are under Christ. Now notice, I'm reading from the Orthodox version of the Bible, so if it's a little different than yours, please forgive me. But anyway, so in verse 28 it says, now when all things are made subject to him, then the Son Himself will also be subject to Him who put all things under Him. Are you catching that? So when all things are put under Jesus, what is Jesus going to do? When that position, that possession, those who now are voluntarily loving God, the bride, prepared before the foundation of the world, for the bridegroom, responding to Him, to His constant affections, and ravishing His heart, and continual ravishing and loving Him back with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. When that time is fulfilled, then what Jesus is going to do is give back to the Father us, so He can have a family. Are you hearing me? This blew me away. So we being prepared now in this time where the Holy Spirit is enticing us and leading us and saying, come away with me. Come away. Come up here. Let me love you and love you back. I'm preparing you as the inheritance I promised my Son. And my Spirit will perform it. My will do it. But in our holy dignity of our free will, we must choose to say yes. We must choose to say yes. We must choose to say yes. That's the one thing God can't change. Because He made us that way. But if we say yes, and He prepares this bride, He adorns it in the fine linen, as it read, those garments of righteousness and purity, Him becoming us and us becoming Him, that holy exchange that occurs in us becoming a bridegroom, He takes it one step further. He says, Father, thank You for the bride. Now I'm giving her back to You. So we can have a family. A family who will love, a family who will worship, a family who will adore. Not a mandatory program bunch of robots. But Him who died and rose again will have His bride, and the Father will have a family. So that God may be all in all. So that God the Father can be all and in all. And you see the holy dance of love in the Trinity. And the Holy Spirit is leading us, escorting us into this final consummation. This blew my mind, man. It rocked my boat. Do you know who you are? You're a holy gift. An exchange, a holy gift between the Father and the Son. Blow your mind. Rock your boat. If it should make you respond, God, just like wrap this up. I can't wait to get out of here to go back and do some more footstool. Whoa! I'm a royal gift between God and His Son. I'm not only part of the bridegroom. I'm this holy gift from Jesus to His Father. So that You, Father, from the foundation of the world, this plan that You had in Your heart, I can give You a family as You've given me a bride. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Blessed Trinity. Do You know who You are? The holy exchange, the holy gift, each and every one of you are. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.